Welcome to Life Sciences and Science Life, a science podcast of the University of Vienna's Doctoral School of Pharmaceutical, Nutritional and Sports Sciences.
Our team of PhD candidates, along with various experts in the field, talk about current advances in sciences while exploring the challenges and triumphs of PhD life.
Welcome to the new episode of FANUSPU Life Sciences and Science Life. Today, we are here with Mika Baker, a PhD student in the Department of Pharmaceutical Sciences. Welcome, Mika.
Hello.
Could you tell about yourself and your research interest, please?
So I'm a first year PhD student within the AG Böttcher. We are in the chemistry department, but I'm working in AIDD project within the pharmacy or within the life sciences, but within the pharmaceutical chemistry section. And I work with a focus on the phenotypic screening for Pseudomonas and Candida interactions to do some drug discovery for anti-infectives with them.
It sounds very interesting, Mika. So could you tell us more about how this process works and how antimicrobial resistance is rising and how your research can contribute?
Sure thing. So I'm looking at Pseudomonas, especially Pseudomonas aeruginosa, which is a quite known type of bacteria to be very resistant. It's ubiquitous and it's known to develop biofilms and to be especially opportunistic, which is a major role within like clinical environment, which then leads to, well, since it's within clinics, more contact with other antibiotics, which then leads to the development of more mutations that lead to more resistances. So it is a high-risk pathogen, which was already ranked in a critical group by WHO, and it probably plays a huge role when it comes to the multi-resistant crisis towards antibiotics in the future.
How the proportion of misuse and overuse of these antibiotics leads to resistance?
So one common sector is definitely the food sector, especially the animal industry is quite known for putting low doses or high doses of antibiotics into the food, which then leads to the development of more resistances. There's a high selective pressure for these organisms that are especially ubiquitous. So for organisms like Pseudomonas aeruginosa that exist almost everywhere, they tend to develop multiple strategies at once to overcome these interactions with these antibiotics. And this is one reason. Another reason definitely is also the misuse of antibiotics within medicine. So a few people tend to stop using antibiotics once they don't see any symptoms anymore, but there are still some bacteria left in their body. So this definitely then drives the development of further resistances. And with all of these reasons combined, you gain a huge growth of multiple resistances in one strain. And this then leads to an upcoming crisis that we almost expect by now.
How about the antibiotic innovations, like whether it is in the rate equal to the drug resistant or it is behind, we are behind?
Currently known antibiotics, such as penicillin, for example, are very cheap and people are used to them being cheap. So big pharma players don't really want to afford this research currently if there's no proper money outcome to be expected. So with the upcoming or the expected multi-resistance crisis, there will probably at some point be like a need for these higher innovation processes and new strategies, and these will probably conclude drugs that are a bit more expensive, and it will be more comparable to drugs like, for example, in cancer treatment, just price wise. And a big deal nowadays is that a lot of new structures or scaffolds are resisted within the same time span that they took to be developed. So there's a lot of selective pressure here again, that is like very, very unfortunate for the drug discovery section and industry development pathway. So most of the low-hanging fruits are generally already taken. So, for example, drugs that target like DNA synthesis or membrane proteins. And also these bacteria that we expect to be like troublesome, those are all, or almost all of them, are gram-negative bacteria, which are especially hard to access. So there are also new strategies needed here. And there's no innovation from industry coming currently.
So, Mika, you clearly pointed out the limitations that we currently face and how the innovation is taking a back step, and the growth of antimicrobial resistance and strains becoming more and more resistant is increasing. So could you tell us how you plan to face this challenge with your research and what outcomes you expect to have from your research project?
So there's this one part that I work on within my phenotypic screening, which is just the discovery of new scaffold structures, since mutations of resistances often result in, well, recognition-based proteins like efflux pumps that just try to recognize certain antibiotic scaffolds and basically flush them out of the bacteria. So with the development of new scaffolds, they can't be recognized yet. And also I try to develop modular drugs. I work with the linker system, and systems like these then enable like combined strategies with nanocarrier transport options or vesicles. Or also one interesting thing that we work with in our group are phages that target Pseudomonas. And there are phage inducer molecules that you could utilize to develop drugs. So there are a few ways that you could do it. There's also antibodies that target Pseudomonas already being developed. So especially techniques that are already in use in different medicinal sectors, for example, cancer treatment, can be used here as well. I mean, one common example that I always keep in mind as well is, for example, these antibody drug conjugates, which in my opinion can also be utilized in the same way for targeting bacteria, because they also have surface proteins that can be targeted. And utilizing an antibody also means very selective option to target the protein on the surface of the bacteria.
When you have a research in the phenotypic level, how would we can further go to the mechanistic level and then get it out to the preclinical?
So generally talking about drug design, a major part is definitely thinking about not how does my drug have to look like, but what biological effectors do I want to have within my drug, and how can I actually make it possible just chemistry-wise? And then the in my opinion, way bigger part is, because in most cases, you will still need optimization at some point just because of solubility or selectivity or whatever reason. Mm-hmm. The interesting part then is, how do you design your assays? Because currently we especially face the challenges that in vitro studies do not really represent how these bacteria or other microorganisms behave in the human body. But for example, with Pseudomonas aeruginosa, depending on if it was grown for a longer time, it already developed a large biofilm. And depending on the media that we use, it starts to produce different secondary metabolites. So it reacts to different treatment options very differently. And this is something that is a bit hard to consider when developing an assay, since we obviously can't test on human patients. So we need to keep it in mind and use as many different essay options that cover certain niches as we can, and then try to put the puzzled results together in the end.
Yeah, totally agree. I have a question that whether when we talk about the resistance, whether we want to prevent them or we want to delay the resistance, what is the goal of the anti-infective like drug designing or development? What is the goal?
So it makes sense to try and delay the development of these resistances, but just from economic perspective, it does not look like it will change in the near future. So we will have to think about new ideas and new strategies, how to tackle the subject. So with especially innovative strategies and the development of new treatment options, especially with working on combined drug experiments. So, for example, using something that not only has the capabilities of acting anti-infective, but also immediately tackling the same resistance mechanism that tries to interfere with the drug being active, seems to be at least a new step or a step ahead of what is done currently.
Mika, from a commercial perspective, you mentioned that it is expensive to do innovation in drug resistant in developing new drugs as compared to the antibiotics that is already existing. So could you give us an idea of how to bridge this gap, like the cost, how can we reduce the cost, what kind of research focus needs to be there to bring about innovative strategies like the antibody things that you mentioned and more affordable for the public?
So I would personally say there needs to be just a larger interest on the topic. So especially people studying in the fields of chemistry, biology, biotechnology, or pharmacy, there needs to be more awareness about the topic. And with this awareness, there also needs to be a bit more training, because once there will be the multi-resistance crisis, or once it starts to occur, we need already trained people for the industry, so they can immediately start the production and start new drug discovery ideas. So I would say people also would, or like the general public needs to be a bit more prepared for higher drug prices, because they are inevitable. But in general, it's also a thing about already teaching about it in the relevant study subjects.
How important the drug discovery process itself, apart from going to the checking the mechanism or something like this, what is the success rate and how important the drug discovery earlier phases?
Yeah, so the success rate, it varies a lot, because it highly varies on the amount of cost that is put into the computational part. But there is this, I guess, saying, or what you are being taught when you attend modules that try to teach about the subject, which is from 10,000 drug ideas or first drugs being developed, after all of the test trials, there's only one drug left in the end that makes it to the market. And this definitely is not really a very good rate. And there is definitely a need to increase it. And there are techniques that are already being researched on. I mean, it was only a matter of time until I bring this topic up. But of course, with the rise of AI, there is also a new way to do in silico research for the topic. And with the rise of computational strategies, computer-based methods, and especially more money being put into use here, the success rate will definitely go up. But this is also still a matter of time. And also, this will only get better if there's a larger interest on the topic.
So, Mika, for our listeners who are not working in the healthcare, what do you think is the most important thing they should understand about multi-drug resistance and preventing infections?
So you need to be aware of the mechanisms that are used and that are being employed for resistances. So one major force here from most of the microorganisms are the efflux pumps, but also just gram-negative bacteria has a hard physical barrier with the double membrane, or the development of a biofilm. A biofilm also needs to be penetrated. And all of this has to be done within the client's body, so it needs to be soluble as well. The off-target effects need to be at a minimum, but it still needs to be efficient. It needs to be an efficient drug. So, there's a lot to consider, but this is basically the thoughts that need to be done when trying to design your first molecule idea. Privileged situation from us here because we are working in an educated field. But of course, if we're talking about general households, then there needs to be some awareness. I mean, obviously, stuff like washing your hands regularly, disinfecting dirty surfaces and stuff like that. But also, like the way we use antibiotics in our households, or the way we consume our food, or what type of food we consume, people need to be aware of it. And this definitely is also a way to delay the development of these resistances.
So thank you very much, Mika, for your useful discussion on this topic. On a final note, would you like to add some thing?
To the people listening to this that are interested in life sciences, that are interested in working within the medicinal sector, please be aware that this is a rising topic. It is something for people that like to work cross-disciplinary. So educate yourself about the topic, try to gain your own interest out of it, and try being artistic in what way you can put your own knowledge into this topic if you are interested in working with it. And I'm working within the project of the AIDD program. So if you are interested within the anti-infective research, you might want to give it a look. There will be a website upcoming, and maybe you want to attend some of our talks. Maybe you want to be part of our research, want to give it a go.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us today for this wonderful conversation.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for this episode of Life Sciences and Science Life. We are your hosts, Ranjit and
Hari.
Tune in next month for more intriguing science topics, relatable PhD experiences, and expert contributions on how to navigate a career path of a young scientist.
This is a podcast of the University of Vienna's Doctoral School of Pharmaceutical, Nutritional and Sports Sciences. Don't forget to follow us on LinkedIn. Thank you for listening. See you next time.